Praise you, Lord Father. We just come before you to worship you and praise you today and to receive from you, Lord. We come to your word, Lord. Open our heart, Lord, and quicken our mind to be able to appropriate and receive it, Lord, and hear what you're saying us today. We give you praise and honor and glory because, Lord, we know that in your word, Lord, and through your word, we receive eternal life. Lord, the life that you have that is different from the one that we have in the world. And we praise you and thank you and magnify your name today. Lord, quicken us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Okay, we are going to continue on, connecting with the Good Shepherd. Jesus is our Good Shepherd. And, we need to connect with you by both understanding, knowing him in a personal way, because this is what he wants. He wants to have a personal relationship with us, because that is what has the power to change us. That is what has the ability to lift us up from the world and allow the Spirit of God to transform us more and more into the way Jesus is himself. Praise the Lord. In John 10:27, says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." See, the thing is, that is what happens when we start having that relationship with him. When you know somebody, and you are close to them, you don't need to see them. When you hear their voices, you know exactly who the person is. And this is the same as when, we hear from him. That does not mean that it's actually a physical sound that we hear. See, that is true also spiritually. Because really their memory of the voice is deeper than eardrums. Has to do with our ability to perceive, to connect the things that we hear. Praise the Lord. Okay. And we had to learn to distinguish, the difference in hearing Jesus' voice from hearing the voice of others speaking about Jesus. Because lots of people talk about Jesus, but really don't say the same thing that he said. And unless we recognize that, we can, by word, think that that's what's taking place, but that's not really necessarily what is taking place. And we have to understand that, because that, becomes a problem. You see, when we hear from him, it's not necessarily that we have hear a physical voice with, our drums, eardrums being affected. It's our heart where we receive God's voice. We receive Jesus' voice. And we have to understand that, because it's important, because there can be confusion if the topic that people talk about is similar, but really the message is different. And in that case, we may be easily taken in direction that actually are not what you say. And especially if we don't have a good, strong basis, we can be taken in the wrong direction and given wrong ideas and thoughts that we attribute to him when they are not really that the case. And so, we had to be warned about that. We had to understand that principle. It's not words that we, have to assign, to the truth is what really the message is. This is important, okay? We have to be able to hear properly. I mean, with our heart, the heart must be able to discern what the words say. Is the word really the parallel or responding or guided by the word of God, or is going somewhere else? There are other ideas mixed with that. Okay. That is important, but that makes it difficult for somebody that is a new believer to be able to distinguish when somebody is really truly speaking what Jesus spoke or speaking some modified message. Jesus himself warned us. Not everybody says, Lord, Lord. Okay. And this is going to be especially the case in the last day. We have to understand that. And that put new believer, they may not know the word well enough, in a difficult position. Because they can be easily, they are vulnerable. They're like children that are open to anybody that speaks around some topics, but they don't have the discernment to be able to know. And there are serious consequences for that. There are, the fact that we cannot discern, okay, that becomes a problem because they are not able to discern his voice. But they pick up words that are parallel there, you see. Then it's really a difficult situation. Well, not completely. Because really, okay, it depends, like for everything else, on what is in their heart. Because it's in the heart that we distinguish that. And we may, for even a period of time, accept a message that is not accurate, but if the thing is, we should not only hear people. That's the problem. People, young believers look at minister, look at people, and they just start following them instead of following the shepherd. They are secondary shepherd. And they are not necessarily telling the truth. We have to understand that. Because otherwise we end up believing not what Jesus said, but something else. What's our reference point? It's very simple. Our reference point is the Word of God. If we read, study, meditate on the Word, the truth is going to come up to us unless we get fixed in following men. We don't follow men. Doesn't matter who it is. I don't want people to follow me. I want people to go to the Word and check me out. Because it's the truth that you need, not what I believe. And if I speak the truth, fine. If I don't speak the truth, then, use the word to judge what I say. Okay? But you have to understand the word properly. It's not anything that you want to interpret, because the word, okay, is not free for personal interpretation, as Peter says, as to be the accurate understanding of what the word says. And if you already got brainwashed in thinking in a certain way, you may have difficulty in discerning the truth. This is why the most that we have to do, the things that we have to really care about, is really being connected to the word and not to people. It's the word that has the truth. Okay? And we only can understand and interpret up to a certain point, no matter who we are. But the more we know, the more experience we have, the more we should know and understand and hear properly. And this is why, you know, the Lord has a job to do with us, to bring us from knowledge to understanding, from knowledge to knowledge, so that we can receive more the understanding of what really the message is. Just somebody making a prayer doesn't change their understanding. Depends what they are communicated. Okay? And at the beginning, that's the way it starts. Unless, you know, you find it by yourself without anybody communicating to you, like happened to me. Okay? But even then, I know, I remember, when I was a young believer, well, I was influenced by a lot of people. Then after I recognized that they weren't quite right, that they, you know, what they said was just distorted. And I had to take a position. As I was going to the Word, and I was seeing what the Word was saying, and I had to make correction so that we grow that way from faith to faith. Hallelujah. This is, you know, the fact that we have to be seeking one thing. We have to seek the truth. Amen. Is the truth that set us free, not our ideas. When our ideas line up with the Word of God, with the meaning of the Word of God, then that is going to produce result. Otherwise, won't. And this is why it's so important that we learn by directly spending time ourselves, meditating, studying, just looking at the way what the Word says, and sometimes seeing, you know, what others are saying as well. Because that helps us to see, you know, in the John chapter 10, verse 5, is a scripture we already read, okay, that talks about this, you know, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the ear, the voice of a stranger. They actually, you know, they recognize the voice of the stranger, the one that preaches a different gospel, okay. So this is, you know, even if it doesn't happen immediately, that's not, you know, that's just the fact that we are always growing in the Lord, and we should be always having better and better understanding of what the Word says as we get closer to Him. This is the normal process that the Holy Spirit does. He says, you know, He will guide you into all truth. See, sometimes our understanding is limited, but He will show through the Word what actually we should believe, because the Scripture will minister to our heart and correct the ideas that do not line up with that. When we see a Scripture that contradicts our belief, we should spend time. We should seek God. We should seek other parts of the Bible to see the truth about that particular topic. Praise the Lord. And that becomes a very important thing that we have to understand. Okay? That when we bring somebody to the Lord, we should explain things properly, not just have, you know, an evangelistic message that gives the idea that, you know, you come to the Lord and everything is going to be fine and you're going to be all this blessing. Well, with the blessing will come also a change that has to take a part in you that you had to recognize and you had to go along with. Otherwise, your expectations are going to be there and are going to block you from actually receiving what the Word says. So it's better to take the time to explain to new believers the whole gospel, not a filtered up gospel according to what the world wants to hear. because otherwise they are going to be having problem later on. You see, in verse 28 of chapter 10 of John says, "And I give you eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Okay, this is, you know, when he gives us eternal life, is really what's going on in our heart and our spirit. And that eternal life is where, you know, we get a different motivation, a different understanding, a different able to perceive the things that God, because that is, does in us. That is where things change. Okay, that eternal life is because it reveals us the truth. And when you have the truth, then you shall never perish, neither shall snatch anyone shall snatch from the truth, from my hand. Why? Because you are fulfilled. Because you are strengthening. You are experiencing what actually the word says. And the word is going to be ministering to you. And you are going to get what you expect. What? Because you expect what the word says. In all the area. Otherwise, well, doctrines of man made the word of God of no effect. That means you think that is the word of God, but you are going to get nowhere, and then you're going to get disappointed and seek all the time for new doctrine to try to figure out. And if you don't have any idea, you're going to get more confused. When you know the truth sets you free. Because is the truth is what God has planned, is what God wants to give you. Hallelujah. Okay. We are going to be fulfilled and satisfied by what God provides for us. Praise the Lord. In, you know, the following verse, this is John 10:29, says, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and not one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." So here you see the importance is the truth, not only that minister to us and give us the result, but makes us stable in the position, in that relationship, and enables us to discern when something is off in the message. It enables us to choose what we choose to believe. Praise the Lord. Okay. And then says, "I and my Father are one." You see, there is unity in him. That means that they say the same thing. They have the same judgment, the same will, the same teaching. They are not all over the place. Okay. And Jesus said it clearly, you know, that I only do what I see my Father doing. He said, you know, in John 5:19, you know, "I do not seek my own will, but the will of my Father." So, you know, there is that stability, that things that doesn't change. Okay, when we need to receive that stability, start seeking for that about everything, you know, our walk should make us more and more stable in the Lord. Because we have the truth, and the truth is setting us free, and we know each step on which we achieve freedom that has nothing to do with our emotions. Our freedom is much deeper than our emotion, and is deep in our heart. It has to do in affecting all the area of our soul. Our mind, our will, our emotion, everything that are not going to be affected by the things that the world has to offer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This is so important to understand, so important to receive, because otherwise we are going to be tossed around all over the place and confused. Hallelujah. You see, if we don't seek the truth, if our heart is not open properly, we are not even going to be able to hear anything. And we can see the example here in the verses that come afterwards, you know, but the way the Jews reacted to what Jesus has just finished talking. Okay, how did they say? And the Jews took up stone against him to stone him. Why? Because they weren't, I mean, was Jesus speaking? He was speaking the truth. But they were close and they, you know, were ready to kill him because he was telling the truth. Don't, you know, why? Because if you don't want to hear, that was Jesus speaking physically. And if you were just a little midge of being open to the, what God's saying, you know, you would have said, you know, this is the right thing. This is the truth. But they couldn't figure it out. They had so much education in their ideas, in their philosophies, in their religion, that they couldn't hear the truth when it was spoken to them, when it was before them. I am the truth, the way, and the life. I mean, he had everything that they could receive right on the spot, and they were choosing to stone him. Are you following what I'm saying? So it's the truth that we are open to, that we are going to hear, otherwise we are not going to hear at all. Okay. And Jesus answered to them and said, many good works I have shown from my Father, you from my Father. To which of those works do you stone me? And the Jews answered to him, saying, for good works we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, made yourself God. See, he was definitely not blaspheming. Okay. They could see the miracle. They could see there was something supernatural. But that doesn't matter. The physical thing, even miracle, doesn't change people. What changes you is the position of your heart that enables you to say, to hear the message that is beyond that. Praise the Lord. See, in the Old Testament, everything was physical. There was no spiritual understanding in just about anybody. Only few could, because they had a contact with the Holy Spirit and they had been open enough to get it. But the masses, everybody else, oh, talk to Moses. You know, we are too afraid. Oh, no, you know, can't do it. Well, that's what you get. Nothing. Because unless you seek for the truth, instead of going to Moses or anybody else, yourself, go to God. He is there to open our mind if you open your heart to him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you understand that principle, you're not going to be and seek for the truth, you know, to worship God, you know, you want to worship in spirit and in truth. That means there can be not anything that you invent yourself, is something that he revealed himself to you. Praise the Lord. Okay. Praise the Lord. And this is what is going to produce the result in us, the transformation. You know, that's why, you know, he sought the truth. He was open to the Father. He was one with the Father. If we are one seeking the truth, this is the way we are going to be able to see. If we have a prefixed agenda or a prefixed idea, you know, and we are close to the truth, we are never going to hear it. Resistance is in that case is that we have been hearing men, being brainwashed into or forced into believing some things that are not true. And if we hold on to those things, and many do unfortunately, they will never find out the truth. They will always believe, you know, being operating according to religion instead of being according to the Spirit of God, which is the basis for the effectiveness of the new covenant. The new covenant is based on our relationship with God through the Holy Spirit in us that guides us into what? Into all truth. And that's his job, and that's what makes the difference, and that's what opens up our relationship between us and God and the Father. Hallelujah. Okay. And that's what opened the door of our heart to his word, to be able to be his voice heard properly. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, to do that, one key thing is that we had to learn to not listen to our feelings, to our emotions, to our ideas, to our desire, lusts. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, the Jews heard Jesus and they wanted to stone him. He was speaking to them, okay? Because they did not want to hear the message that he was giving. Simple as that. If they would have been just a bit open, and a few of them were, then they would have been able to hear and receive and be empowered and transformed. See, this is the problem from the very beginning. From the beginning of human race. You know, Cain has set his mind about how he would approach God. And wasn't open to listen to anybody. Both of them, Cain and Abel, both of them had the message, the same message, that they had to worship God. But he has determined that, you know, he was going to do his way. When instead God had prepared a way to do, you know, with the sacrifice. And so what happened? You know, he did it and didn't work. Genesis chapter 4, verse 5 said, but the Lord, did not respect Cain and his offerings, and Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Okay? Being rejected produces emotional anger and discouragement and negative emotion. Okay. His countenance fell. That means his face, you know, was revealing an expression of depression and frustration. Why? Because he would rebel against God. You cannot feel good within yourself when you rebel against God. Because he established some laws, some principle according to which everything works. Okay, let me continue. Verse 6 says, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? I mean, God didn't know. Sure he knew it. But he wanted to get across. He would say, you know, you should obey me now. He was trying to connect with him. He was trying to establish a relationship. Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? You see, this is always God trying to reach out. You see the same thing with that before. Okay. Then continued in his explanation. If you do well, will you not be accepted? So that's the very simple explanation that he was giving him, the direction that he needed to be obedient. But he was mad. He was offended. He was to do his own way. Are you listening to me? You see, how when we want to do our own way, we are not going to hear God. Okay? No matter what happens, God can speak to us like he did there. Sometime he has to. You know, I remember at the beginning I hadn't been exposed to anything Christianity. I accepted the Lord. And I just got caught up in some stuff that I shouldn't have. Went to sleep, and the Lord spoke to me in dream. And I got scared, stiff. I knew exactly what I had to do. Just forget about that stuff. You know, trust the Lord. I mean, I dreamed a lion soaring, and the big voice underneath, speaking behind the Lord, Antichrist. I would probably have been saved for, I didn't know anything those days. I mean, I was, my background was of Roman Catholic Church. I didn't know very much. But I always saw the truth. That's why I left the church and I became an atheist, because they couldn't answer any of my questions. And so the intention was good. The ignorance was big, because I was not educated, because nobody had educated me. But when, you know, I actually, when he intervened with me and revealed himself to me in a personal way, not through second person, you know, and when I made a mistake out of ignorance, and he had to get across to me, you know, I was trying to be helped, you know, emotionally and stuff like that, that was the wrong thing. So he had to intervene. But I couldn't hear, because I was doing according to my silly mind. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I didn't know very much. She's talking about somebody who doesn't know anything, you know, and start just reading the Bible, because that's what I did. But start reading the Bible and understand what the Bible says is a big difference. But he had to actually intervene with me. And he did it. And he knew what to do. Okay? I knew enough to understand the dream. And I knew how to apply it. And I changed immediately. I dropped all that stuff, that mental stuff that was wrong. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, what I was talking about before, if you seek for the truth, if you go after the truth, you can hear his voice. And if it doesn't get one way because you're too ignorant, like I was, you know, then he's going to intervene supernaturally. And at the beginning, he had to intervene supernaturally many times to straighten me up, because I had not a clue. Until I started to build myself up, and I was exposed to many things, and I learned by hearing the voice, the things that were right and the things that were wrong. This is the process everybody has to go through. And if we don't go through, it's because we get stuck where we are at the beginning. Praise the Lord. So, God didn't stop there. They explained more, okay? You know, so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has you the countenance fallen? Okay. For if you do well, you will be accepted. And if you do not well, sin flies at the door, and his desire is for you. So his desire, the problem is our desires, what we want. But then said, but you should rule over it. That's the secret. We should, when we get the truth, when we really get the truth, and we want to go our way, we should rule over that desire, over that lust, over those things that take us in the wrong direction. And we are going to know at the beginning, because God is always going to intervene with that. The thing is, sometimes we are immersed in an environment that doesn't allow us to take a breath and to realize that, because we have input all the time that is wrong. So we have to be very careful to what we are exposed. Praise the Lord. But when we should be able to see it, understand it, because when it's not the truth, we are going to be frustrated, we are going to be feel rejected, we are going to have negative emotions, they are going to be naturally manifested on us. Why? Because there is a law that God put in place. And it's the law of sowing and reaping. Doesn't matter if we don't understand. When we are in the wrong place in any decision, God is going to we are going to produce results. They are going to be negative in us, and we are going to look for something else. And if we keep looking in the wrong place, we are going to get worse instead of better. But if we are open to the Holy Spirit and the correction that is trying to work on us, then we are going to make progress. Hallelujah. See, we don't need to know to trigger God's laws. The law of sowing and reaping works if we know it or not. And so we had to recognize sometime that maybe somebody is trying to tell us something. We feel frustrated, when we feel upset, when we feel that we are getting nowhere. See, God doesn't change. And if he wants us to change, we have to change because we are not going to get anywhere. Praise the Lord. See, we have to understand one thing, okay? Rebellion of not doing God's will comes from something. Okay? And it's not just a question that we know something wrong. It's that we have accepted something wrong. Okay? But God speaks to us. I strongly believe in my experience, you know, I've been corrected by many things. The thing is, one thing I always said, when God tries to correct me, I move quickly. I learn to be obedient and to do it right on the spot, even if it deals with something that I really may find difficult. And we're going to see more about that. Okay? Rejecting what we know is really rejecting Jesus, rejecting the truth, rejecting God. The thing is, what we know is not that clear sometimes. Because our mind is confused, because we are confused, because we got wrong input. Are you following me? Okay, God knows that. God not necessarily blame you. He comes there and trying to get across to you. He may going to make not just one effort, but many efforts to touch you and to reveal himself to you. Just like did to Cain. But he didn't get anywhere. You know, Cain got even more worse, more upset, ended up killing his brother because he got jealous. Work of the flesh, his feeling, his emotions. That's the problem. Okay? In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15. Okay? Again, I made this concept clear. If it is rejecting what we know, that we are rejecting Jesus and not receiving him and the truth. Okay. So we have to be careful about that. Okay? Because God is trying to reach to us. In Hebrews 3:15 says, while I say, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. You see, that's what happens. Setting our mind on something we want to believe rather than the truth, that produces rebellion in us because we are set. And that means we are resisting. Our heart resists what God wants to do. And when you resist, you toughen up. You get harder. Or you get your heart hardens. Are you following what I'm saying? So we have to be careful. Okay. So, says, we see that they could not enter the children of Israel, in because of what? Unbelief. Because they believed the wrong thing rather than believe the truth. And when you believe the wrong thing, you're going to do the wrong thing, even if God tries to get you across. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, God is patient. God is going to try to come through, you know, and he's always ready And he's always trying to do, but he doesn't change. So if you keep staying in your position, you know, after a while, really need something that really shakes you up to really be able to be moved from your position. Praise the Lord. But you should understand, should you see it the way it happened with Cain. You know, from the beginning to now, is exactly the same. And that could be a good lesson for us, and everybody in the Old Testament had it too, but sometimes didn't work, like for example for the children of Israel. Hallelujah. Set in your mind in what you want to believe rather than the truth. Okay? The choice makes you rebel and harden your heart when you resist. Okay? So, verse 19, Hebrews 3:19. So, we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. The basic thing is believing the lie is unbelief or the truth, because God for sure tried to connect to you, but one way or another, you got stuck in what your heart wanted, because you got set on that, because you, most of the time, believe the wrong thing because you have been taught the wrong thing. That's the problem. This is why we had to not look at man, but look at the word and go by the word, not from what everybody says. Praise the Lord. And says, and if you, you know, so the idea, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. If you hear his voice talking about something, check it out. Spend time going to the word, trying to discern, trying to, you know, diakrino, to cut off, you know, separate the, all the different things and see the truth and reject the lie. Because God does not go along with our choices. He is fixed in his choices. And his choices work. The lies don't work. Praise the Lord. And the problem lies always in the fact of our lusts, our desire. There is a message or something about it that we like and we want to follow that. And today there are some standard things. I'm not going to go into that right now, but that are followed because people like to hear the message. You know, Paul talks about them each year. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, the children of Israel were blind, didn't have the Holy Spirit, they were stubborn, and so didn't get anywhere. What happened? They died in the desert. They didn't get where they wanted to go. But, okay, we are in a much better position. We have the Holy Spirit. You see, on our case, Jesus did everything and want to communicate to us and interact with us and help us to understand. Hallelujah. And we are guaranteed one thing in the Bible. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, you know, that no temptation has overtaken us except such as common to men. But God is faithful, who will not allow to be tempted beyond what we are able to. So he's protecting us from being mixed up and full. Okay? And we're not allowed to be tempted beyond what we are able, but with the temptation we'll also make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. The idea is going to provide the opportunity for us to overcome those wrong ideas, the temptation that we have. So we have a promise here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that should give us the understanding and the assurance that God is going to come through. That he is not going to allow us to be tempted more, but we have to give up our feelings and our emotions. Praise the Lord. You see, it says, therefore, my beloved, free idolatry. See, what is idolatry? Wanting something more than what God wants. That's what idolatry is. That's what blocks us. That's what makes us believe the wrong thing. Okay? That is heavy. Somebody that we follow more than we follow God, which is ourself, which are our lust, which are ideas that may be not true. And, you know, those things are the things that block people. The following verse is very clear. I speak to us, to wise men. Judge for yourself what I say. See, it says, you know, just go by the experience that you have. Just go by the things that you are experiencing, the things that happen in your life. Praise God, okay? If we have committed to the Lord, if you are born again, you know, we have a relationship. The Holy Spirit is in us, trying to get across to us. Even if we don't understand everything, because everybody doesn't understand everything. So God knows that and doesn't expect anything else. But he expects you to stay open when he talks to you. If you are open when he talks to you, the Holy Spirit is going to guide you into all truth. He cannot guide anybody that resists and doesn't want to listen. We talked about resisting the Holy Spirit in a few weeks ago, so I'm not going to get into that anymore. But the idea is that we have to understand the way it works and to make sure that we make the right decision, okay? Because that is what triggers God's response. Hallelujah. We speak to wise men. How do you get the wisdom? Listening to God. Not listening to your feelings. Your feelings are the problem, and they keep, okay, us bound. And this is what, if we obey, you know, we will experience the resurrection power. We experience the transformation. That's what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 21. So for you may to be same for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. Okay, that happens when we listen and we are transformed from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from truth to truth. Praise the Lord. But see, one thing that we have to understand and remember is the fact that we have to be starting to walk spiritually conscious. I mean, being conscious of what's going on inside ourselves. See, this is a concept I taught for many years. Okay, especially in marriage counseling. See, people get married very often for the wrong reason. They are attracted by the spouse physically. And I saw that over and over again, that relationship is not going to last. Because it's motivated by the wrong thing, by their feelings. Your feelings should not be the determinant factor in marriage. But the spiritual aspect of it, because remember, in Ephesians talk about very clearly that there is a parallel between our relationship with God and our relationship with our spouse. Why? Because the same problem that we have with our spouse, we are going to also have with God. See, when our relationship with God is based on the wrong values, then those values are not going to hold on together. When our relationship with God is based on the wrong value, our walk with God is not going to work. And so this is, we have to understand that. You know, we have to have been conscious really about what's going on inside ourselves so that we can recognize what motivates us. Okay. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, you know, not my will, Father, but thy will, your will. He was completely conscious of what that meant. Wasn't there living in the illusion that is going to be everything hunky-dory, everything easy. He knew it was going to be the most difficult thing that anybody could ever face. But he stood by the value and what he knew there was the will of God. Didn't move him. I mean, it wasn't pleasant. He sweat blood, but he knew it and he chose. And you see, when you choose to do what God wants you to do, he empowers you to do it. That's what it says. He may give us a way out, a way, you know, to resolve the problem, enabling you that, well, how does he do it? He gives you the power to overcome. That's what we need to understand. If we are focused on ourselves, if we are focused on what we want, we are never going to have the power to overcome, because that is going to resist. The Holy Spirit is going to resist. God's will is going to make us have rebellion, and is going to harden up our heart, and the more we harden up, and the harder it's going to be. This is really what happens. So, you know, conscious means, you know, to be awakened, alert, be aware and perceive, be intentional and deliberate about the things we, the decision we make. Okay? And this is true in any important decision that we make. Marriage is a very important decision because that affects our life. But our relationship, our marriage with the Lord is just the same. And it's even more important. Praise the Lord. We had to follow Jesus' example. And Jesus' example is given in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. That says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. I mean, the cross was not the joy, was the result that was going to happen as the power of God that he knew was going to raise up from the dead that he was looking at, not what was going to go through. And what he was going to go through, that he was empowered because he was like a sheep going to the slaughter. He didn't even complain. He was empowered to resist, to overcome. And I think that's not just for Jesus, it's for everyone. Everyone that is called to do something, everyone that goes going to do to hardship because of making the right choice, they're going to be empowered by God with supernatural power, dynamis, to be able to stand firm and to have victory. And to, at the end of the story, you know, you are victorious like Jesus was. Are you following me? See, if you don't believe that, then it's unbelief. Because that's what the word says. And you choose to unbelieve, then you are going to have the consequences of that. You make the choice, and that is sin at the door, and you open the door. Or life is at the door, and you open the door. Hallelujah. See, spiritual conscious living, really the implication of our decision, the implication of what we choose, the impact of what is going to have in our life is very important to have very clearly before and be ready to do anything that God calls us to do, because he is in control and he is God and he knows and he's going to empower us. Praise the Lord. See, realize one thing. Okay, feelings, our feelings are the voice of our body. Okay? They are the strategy that the devil uses to blind us, to get distracted, because our body is powerful, affecting us. Okay? We, okay, must develop counter-strategy to fight back. We must be prepared for that. We must know the word so that we can choose the right thing. Okay? And the word gives us plenty of instruction, plenty of things. Hallelujah. We must make many choices to be able to receive strength from the Lord, both by the understanding, by the experiences we have and everything else, to make the right choices. Hallelujah. Spiritual strength. having the position, you know, not compromising our values. Okay. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, very, very clearly, but without faith it's impossible to please God. Believe in the word that he said. The word he said, you know, you obey me and I will empower you to overcome. Hallelujah. Without faith it's impossible to please God. For he comes to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Trust God. Trust his promises. If you follow him, you will see if they are the promises and you are following him, they are going to come to pass. Okay? What Jesus accomplished is the proof. Okay? Accomplished by his death and resurrection is demonstrated the faith that he had in what the Father said. Hallelujah. Seek him diligently. You know, those who is a rewarder of those who seek, you know, diligently seek him. So our part is to seek him diligently, seek him for the truth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, says, the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve for the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment. So that's really the difference. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise the authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Hallelujah. So this is what makes the difference. This is what enables us to manifest the power of God in us. If God is not with us, we can do whatever we want. We are never going to see God's power working in us, the deliverance coming. But when we just do one little thing in obedience, we can see always a change that takes place that manifests God's power working in us. Hallelujah. See, on the other side, you know, those who practice the work of the flesh, they submit to the work of the flesh, will not inherit the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. So we can see. We have a lot of instruction in the Word. Okay? And mostly, you know, we just read in the Bible, we get that instruction. But there are some specific things, some specific instruction that we have to understand, you know, make, you know, the fact that when we realize that God is speaking to us and is trying to correct us, we had to act right away. We had to obey him. We had to repent. You know, doesn't necessarily mean that we, you know, believe something because we want it to be bad. It's just because simply sometimes we have been taught the wrong thing and we have accepted it and we got used to that. And God knows that. And he couldn't care less where you got it. He's trying to communicate to you. Respond to him. That's the number one very important thing that we have to confess. You know, you confess your sin, is righteous, you know, and just to forgive you, I cleanse you for all unrighteousness. All the stuff goes away. And all the negative things go. But you have to make that decision. Okay? You have to be exposed to the right thing, not to the wrong thing. You know, go to the Word and receive from the Word the thing. Okay? That's where the power comes from. You know, someone, you know, delight yourself also in the Lord and the power, you know, the law of the Lord, and in law meditate day and night. That's what starts. You know, you are exposed to the thing, the truth working on you, and you are open for the correction because the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you about the correction that needs to be taking place. Praise the Lord. You know, Proverbs 4:20-23, you know, give attention to my word. So that is a continuous, you know, everywhere. The word is the basis for victory. That's how Jesus overcame. He was the word made flesh. Okay, that is how we overcome. Hallelujah. One of the very important things is to establish clear boundaries for what we do and don't do. Not only that, but for all our family. Because, you know, if we mix with people in the world, we are going to be influenced. And so we have to be careful to the degree that we mix. See, one of the situations today that is taking place, and this is a very sad situation, is what the children, our children are exposed in the school system. They are exposed to ideas that are completely contrary to the Word of God, and they put them in a position of jeopardy. See, that's why I think today probably there should be people should homeschool to save their children from being destroyed. That may be the only way to do it. Because you are trying to work on them and they are going to be exposed on them 5 days a week, all the time, bombarding them with wrong ideas. And they are vulnerable. And all their friends do the same thing. I know the difference made, for example, for my son. He has 4 children. And he just didn't send them to school, the normal school. Partially homeschooled it, partially gave it to special school. They were, you know, from church. And all of 4 of them are for the Lord. The older one is going to get into the ministry next. That's a big difference. No one. Also, they are keen. The one, it's 9 years old, is there preaching to stuff about the Old Testament. Even. You know? That's what makes the difference. What they are exposed to, they are vulnerable. It is our responsibility as parents to do that. If I could, you know, unfortunately, it's difficult at this time, but, you know, if the Lord gives us the opportunity, we're going to do something. Because I think that's the only way to protect them. Praise the Lord. Let's close for now. We covered lots of topics. Praise the Lord. I hope you understand some of the principles according to which God works with us and what he made available to us to overcome. We can be victorious. This is what God's plan is, to give us victory. I wanted to read another scripture, some other scripture, but maybe next week. Jesus speaking to us today and giving us precise instructions. Praise the Lord. Come on, take it. Just keep it. No? Okay. Praise the Lord. So, let's pray. Praise you, Lord. Let's go before the Lord. See, decisions is what makes all the difference. Our decisions. Not what somebody else says, not what I say, not what, you know, is what he says. What the Word of God says. And we have to go to the Word of God. And if we need to go to the Word of God, he doesn't mind. He wants us to figure it out, to resolve within ourselves, and to come to the conclusion, you know, that are going to make a difference in our life. Victory. Jesus had complete victory in a situation that probably was the worst that anybody can have. God doesn't ask us to be crucified. He asks us to crucify our flesh, which is nothing compared to what he did. Praise the Lord. So, let's go before him and pray. Prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Open my eyes, open my heart, help me to see, understand, and respond to what you have done. I'm open, I'm willing, that will become in my life, and I'm going to receive everything that you have done and made possible for me. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for your love. Because you love us before we love you. And we thank you for that. And open our heart to you. To empower. To open our eyes. open our understanding and motivate us to follow your ways. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord.